all their wastewater.
It's not the single silver bullet solution for agriculture. Agriculture is going to have to do a lot of things to adapt to a future of less water availability.
The Del Puerto Water District's recycling project still needs a slew of permits from the state, but if all goes well, the taps could open up in just 3 years. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Sommer. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
And good morning. I'm Jeff Bossert. Now joining you for the opening commodity market report for this Monday. U.S. grain and soybean futures fell in early trading today amid improving weather forecasts in the U.S. Midwest. Corn and soybean prices declined, retracing as forecasts for the U.S. crop belt turned warmer and drier, which analysts expect to aid crops swamped by heavy rains earlier this summer. Prices for the crops were also lower as traders await weekly crop condition data due out from the government at 2 p.m. today, with data widely expected to show ratings held steady compared with a week earlier. Thanks to better weather conditions, a higher U.S. dollar also weighed on prices for the crops. The U.S. dollar rose 0.1% against a basket of currencies today, making domestic exports less appealing for foreign buyers. China's record on nuclear proliferation is facing congressional criticism as the Obama administration seeks renewal of a 30-year agreement that enables American involvement in the Asian nation's fast-growing atomic energy industry. It's a different beast and far less contentious than the new nuclear deal between Iran and the U.S. and other world powers aimed at preventing Tehran from acquiring atomic weapons. China has had the bomb for 50 years and had a stockpile of perhaps 250 weapons. There are commercial implications to the deal. The nuclear industry is warning it needs swift renewal for the agreement, which expires at the end of this year. Four American-designed reactors worth $8 billion are under construction in China, and dozens more are planned or proposed that industry advocates say could support tens of thousands of U.S. jobs.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey is an organization whose roots run deep, financing agricultural needs for over 145 years, helping serve the agribusiness needs of landowners and investors for generations to come. Busey, your dream, our promise.
In a few moments, we'll get a look at a market analysis with Aaron Curtis at Midco at Bloomington, Illinois. Right now, a look at weather for the growing areas with Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will see a favorable mix of rain and sunshine as we move forward through this next full week to 10 days. The pattern really is ideal for most of the established crops across the region. Corn and soybeans will eat up the environment here that is basically inclusive of normal temperatures and periodic precipitation. Yes, we still have some areas that are excessively wet in the Midwest, and it's easy to become a little bit obsessive about that situation. I think it's important to keep it all in perspective. We're not seeing any increase in the wet biased areas. The flooding is not becoming any worse. We're not expecting it to increase very significantly. In fact, it should decrease as we move through this next 10 days to 2 weeks. So the areas that are too wet are still going to be struggling with problems of lower yield potential and quality. But because we're not going to be expanding it, there's no new crop area that's going to be hurt. And it's easy to stay focused on the problem areas, but in reality, a big part of the Midwest is looking at almost ideal weather conditions right now. Pollination will be successful for corn, and soybeans will enjoy some warmer temperatures periodically. The degree day accumulations might be something to keep an eye on a little later in the summer, but I think for right now, everything looks pretty darn good. Soil moisture in the Midwest is plentiful. There are some areas that definitely need to dry down a little bit. A little greater sunshine would be ideal. There are other areas that are doing very well, though. The U.S. Delta and southeastern states experienced some decrease in soil moisture here recently, and pockets of dryness is becoming a little bit more significant in some of those areas, but we don't expect that to fester into a very big problem either. Some of the computer forecast models today have suggested that maybe next week there will be a better scattering of showers and thunderstorms in some of the drier biased areas in the southeastern states, and if that actually verifies, we'll probably see some improvement in crop conditions. conditions for a lot of that region. I'm not completely convinced that the precipitation is going to be well balanced there, but we'll still keep a close eye on it. The bottom line is I don't think we're widespread dryness in any area that's going to be significant enough to have an impact on the marketplace. The temperatures across the Midwest this morning running mostly in the upper 60s and 70s. We're going to see afternoon temperatures through a big part of the coming week running in the 80s. There will be some 70 degree readings in the Great Lakes region every once in a while. There will be also some lower 90s later this week across some of the western and southernmost parts of the Midwest. Such conditions are considered to be mostly normal for this time of the year and certainly favorable for corn pollination as well as successful production across the region. Now there's going to be some shower and thunderstorm activity, as I mentioned before, that's going to come and go across the Midwest. The precipitation is not expected to be heavy, except in localized areas. But we will see the majority of the precipitation for the next 7 days running in a quarter to three quarters of an inch range in a big part of the Midwest. There may be some 1 inch plus amounts that occur in a few pockets along the Ohio River. There may also be some heavy rains in parts of Missouri, or we've already seen some hefty amounts of rain in recent weeks. The northern portions of the U.S. Plains and Canada's prairies still have some problems with dryness going on. Parts of Saskatchewan and southeastern Alberta did not do well with rainfall over the weekend, and their summer crops are still hurting badly for moisture, and it doesn't look like there's going to be a big change in that particular region. In hard red winter wheat country, we're seeing some showers and thunderstorms that are mixing with sunshine and very warm temperatures, but so far the environment's been really good for the advancing harvest in Colorado and Nebraska. Most of the fieldwork further to the south has concluded or is winding down. We expect temperatures in the plains to be a little less hot this week, with readings meant in a more seasonable range after over the weekend seeing temperatures in the upper 90s to lower 100s. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us now with a look at the markets, Aaron Curtis at Medco at Bloomington, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Weaker prices here as we start out the new week. Full week of trading, of course, this week, and we are starting out with some lower prices here. We do have SEP corn at 412 and three quarters, down 7 1/2. December corn at 423 and three quarters, also down 7 1/2. March corn at 433 1/2, down 8 cents. Beef of 16 corn, 424 1/4, that's down 5 cents. August soybeans at 1004, down 10 3/4. November soybeans at 9.95, down 11 3/4, and November of 16 beans at 9.44 3/4, down 9 1/2. Chicago wheat also lower here this morning. September wheat at 5.42 1/4, down 11 3/4. December wheat at 5.51 1/2, down 12 cents. July of 16 wheat at 5.67, down 9 1/4. Kansas City wheat market, September Kansas City wheat at 533 1/2, down 13. December Kansas City wheat at 553, down 13. July 16 Kansas City wheat at 582 1/4, down 12 3/4. Of course, Monday morning, no livestock trade here for another few minutes to get the week started there. Really, the news is mostly surrounded the weather, just like Drew mentioned there. The weather forecast continues to look a little drier, and that's welcome relief to a large part of the Corn Belt here as areas start to dry out a little bit. Temperatures are going to be a little cooler for most of the Corn Belt here as the week goes on. Really some rain moving through parts of the Corn Belt here today, and then for the most part, it looks fairly dry, at least for the northern two-thirds of the Corn Belt here as we move through the next 5 to 7 days. We'll see some rain moving through parts of Oklahoma, Missouri, and southern parts of the Midwest a little bit here as the week goes on, but for the most part, it's going to be fairly ideal conditions here as areas start to dry out a little bit, which should aid crop development for the most part. Still going to be a lot of variability as far as yields are concerned, but we're getting to the point of the year where it's going to be really hard to know exactly where the yield is going to fall until we get into harvest, and we'll know more then. But according to the trade here, as the weather kind of straightens out here a little bit, it's going to be tough to kind of maintain rallies, and that's what we're seeing here today. Highs are put in the market, at least the resistance will be the highs last week around that 450 mark on Dease corn. around that 10:30 area on November beans. Looks like some pretty tough resistance here as we move forward, barring any news. The dollar continues to strengthen here a little bit, trading at the highest level we've seen since late April, and that raises continuing concerns about demand. New crop demand for both corn and soybeans running behind each of the last 4 years at this point. If you look at new crop soybeans out of the U.S., they're running some 200 million bushels behind the pace we had going a year ago. So that raises some concern as we continue to be at a price disadvantage to some of the competing countries globally. As for news today, we'll have export inspections out at 10 o'clock. Corn inspections need to average around 50 million bushels to meet our goal. Bean inspections need to average around 7.5 million. Wheat inspections right around 19 million. And, of course, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we'll have our crop ratings out. Expecting crop ratings to be steady to possibly even just a touch better here as the weather did start to straighten out a little bit last week.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Okay. Have a good day, Jeff.
You
thanks.
Too.
Bye.
Aaron Curtis is with Midco in Bloomington. This is Illinois Public Media, WLL AM 580 and WLL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana, 71 degrees now in Urbana. It's 9 o'clock.
Good morning. Thanks to a new financial bailout, Greek banks are open today for the first time in weeks. We'll hear from people in Athens finally able to access their accounts on Morning Edition from NPR News. It's one of many times that Donald Trump has caused a stir, but many of his fellow presidential candidates pounced on him after his latest comments. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David Green. Trump attacked Senator John McCain's war record, and even after the reaction, he doesn't appear to be backing down. Nigeria's new president makes his first official visit to the White House on this Monday, July 20th, and you already know who has a birthday because you were reading my mind. Okay, Carlos Santana's turning 68, but we will hear this hour about mind reading. It's really a thing, not just fiction. Here's the news.